You are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. Up in this bitch right now.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
Holla, 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 players.
It is Tuesday, August the 2nd, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net. That's www.gerwick.net, your source for pro wrestling news since 1997. We welcome you to the latest edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, episode 143, the podcast that tells it like it is. Could Raw live up to the hype of the new era from last week? We got a lot of breaking news on today's show. And as always, to help me to get into the news, I bring back my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Hey, man. Chilling, copacetic. And to finish off this triple threat, he is the former general manager of SmackDown and ECW. He is a Gerwick.net Hall of Famer, future WWE Hall of Famer, the one, the only, Theodore R. Long. What's up, player?
Oh, what's up, players? Holla, holla, holla.
And as always, start with Teddy. How was your weekend?
Hey, my weekend was great. I was at home this weekend, didn't have any show schedule, so I just spent some time around the house and played with the grandkids, and other than that, man, it was pretty good.
Good stuff, definitely. I want to remind everybody out there, the Gerwick Report podcast is available at Gerwick.net as well. You can download our previous podcast as well through iTunes. You can download the TuneIn and Stitcher apps and stream us on the go. So definitely check those out. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick for all your t-shirts. And Frank D, update us on how the YouTube channel is going.
Hey, man, YouTube channel is doing fine right now. We have over 1,100 subscribers to our YouTube channel. Got some new content that I'm working on coming up shortly with some video games. You're going to see some 2K16 up there, probably some Grand Theft Auto 5. So check that out at YouTube.com/GerwickNet. Also uploaded the Vince Russo interview from last week, and we got Atlee Green and Adam Cohen on there giving their take on the Universal Championship. Just a lot of stuff we're doing right now, YouTube.com/GerwickNet. So check it out today. Subscribe to the channel, and you'll get all the content free of charge.
So maybe you can create a character called Ric Flair in your Grand Theft Auto game.
I don't know if I want to roll around with Ric Flair in a car, Steve. You know what I'm saying? When I'm going around, you know what I'm saying, I'm usually, you know, jacking people or whatever. So I don't necessarily know if Nate could, you know, go with that. You know what I'm saying? I think my man Teddy here, you know, I could put Teddy in the car. I mean, Teddy can go, you know, cruise around. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Holla, holla.
Believe that, player!
Well, last week on the GRP show here, we talked a lot about Raw. The new era officially kicked off. And as I said, it'll be interesting to see where we are in 6 weeks. I think the easiest episode to write is the reboot edition. You have the new rosters, you have new storylines, and you move forward. Well, last night was a little bit of a different show. We started off with another long promo with Sasha and Charlotte. We had more New Day. We, of course, were headlined by Brock Lesnar's return with Paul Heyman. Teddy, did you see the show, and what was your overall opinions of the second edition of the new era of Monday Night Raw?
Well, I did get a chance to look at the show. I didn't watch all of it, but portions of the show that I've seen, you know, I didn't think they were too bad. I thought it was a good show. The opening segment with Chris Jericho and Charlotte and Sasha and Enzo, I was into it at the beginning, but I thought it kind of went just a little bit too long. I think it was kind of drawn out too long. I feel that they could have got into more, you know, got into it more quicker. And Nick Foley, I mean, he's doing a great job, but when he made that mixed tag match, there was no energy. You know what I mean? That, you know, you got to pump that thing up, you know, and make that mixed tag, you know, mean something. I mean, that's the way I was taught, and that's the way Vince had always taught me to do it. So, but other than that, I thought things were great. There was a good promo there with Seth Rollins. I really enjoyed him. I always enjoy Seth doing promos. And other than that, I thought the show was fair.
You know what they're going to say, Teddy? And we're going to get into some of the comments that some of the other wrestling greats have said about Finn Balor. We're going to talk about Rey Mysterio, Ric Flair, etc. People are going to say, Teddy, that maybe they're overexposing a little bit Finn Balor. Was he exposed a little bit from the standpoint of one of his weaknesses is he's not the greatest talker, not the greatest promo guy. So are they using him correctly, and maybe him cutting promos like he did last night may not be his forte?
Well, my opinion on that is, you know, Finn Balor, he's a green guy. You know what I mean? I think his mic skills are really bad right now, but it's going to take time. But when you're in this business here, you know, and right now at this point in time with the WWE, you know, they're not sitting around waiting on people to learn or waiting on people to get ready. They're going to throw you out there. And like I've always said, it's just like in football. When they throw you the ball, they expect you to run a touchdown. So when they throw these guys out there, they don't expect them, you know, to be perfect. They know that they're going to make mistakes, and they know that things are going to happen out there. But they got to get them out there, and they got to get them ready. And I think the only way that you're going to get them ready is you just got to throw them out there. And that's exactly what they did with Finn Balor. I think he's going to be good. It's just going to take time. He has to settle in, you know, kind of get the nervousness out of his body, you know, and relax. And I think he's going to be good. I like Finn Balor.
What did you think of Raw this week, Frank?
Raw was decent. It totally went down in comparison to last week's show. I think anybody can agree on that when they saw it. But, I mean, it had its moments there. I mean, I thought the opening segment with Sasha, Enzo, Charlotte, and Chris Jericho, it went too long. I mean, 22 minutes to establish a mixed tag match, too long right there. So I didn't care for that part of the show. When it goes down to Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, you know, here's the thing with that segment there. I noticed when I was watching last night, I've been following Finn Balor, you know, since he, you know, went to NXT and a little bit before that when, you know, he was Prince Devitt. But what I noticed about Finn Balor last night, and I noticed about the fans there in Atlanta, is that the crowd wasn't really into it. They don't get it. They really have no reason right now to care about Finn Balor, because you have a lot of people out there that don't watch NXT necessarily, so they don't even know who Finn Balor is. They just know here's a guy that was drafted to Raw. He's a big deal. He beat Roman Reigns. That's pretty much it. So you haven't really had, you know, the time yet for the fans out there to really take grasp of who Finn Balor is and all that. So I think right now they're kind of working the kinks out with Finn Balor. I think when Finn Balor comes out at SummerSlam in his match with Seth Rollins, when he comes out there in full demon mode, I think that the people will go like, whoa, that is crazy. I think that's going to be the turning point for Finn Balor on the main roster. But right now, other than him doing the entrance and coming out there with the Balor Club shirt on, there really is nothing to Finn Balor. And he's not the best promo in the world. He's really not. And he has that very strong, you know, Irish accent. And I think that's one of the things that stands out there, and not in a good way. The way to fix that, obviously, Steve, is that Finn Balor needs a mouthpiece. He needs somebody to speak for him out there, and obvious who it should be. I think Finn Balor should eventually become a Paul Heyman guy. And you align Paul Heyman with Finn Balor, let him do Finn Balor speaking for him, same way he does for Brock Lesnar. Mark Henry versus Rusev for the U.S. Championship. Yeah, Mark Henry did that impassioned plea about needing one more run, and he was going to do it for America, went out there and got his ass whooped. And he's bigger than Rusev, but he lost to Rusev, and Roman Reigns comes out there and pretty much steals the thunder. I can see where they're going with this, though. You have the Bulgarian brute Rusev, who's going out there knocking America. Oh, and Roman Reigns going to come out there and be the guy to defend the United States, and that might be one of the ways they're trying to get him over. If that's going to work in the long run, don't know. But other than that, you know, you had a segment there also with the New Day taking on Anderson and Gallows, in which, you know, Anderson and Gallows were doing too sweet, and Big E rolled up Carl Anderson for the 1-2-3, and they proceeded to beat the New Day. You had to put some heat on the club here, and I think they accomplished that. And now it seems, Steve, that Big E has a injury, quote-unquote, as being reported by WB.com, and I guess this is all, you know, storyline-wise, so it's nothing too serious. But I think eventually they're going to have to put the belts on the club here. And other than that, you had a pretty good match between Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn. And the ending there with Randy Orton, RKO, and Brock Lesnar out of nowhere, that was pretty good. So, like I said before, it was a decent show, but the volume is way down on this show this week. It couldn't live up to the hype of last week. Last week was fresh, and now it's kind of like, oh, we're back to the same old, same old.
And to touch on that, you know, I agree with Frank, you know, the people were waiting, you know, they wanted to see what the new look was. They wanted to be, you know, waiting on that draft. So now the people know what's going on. They know where everybody's going to be. So now it goes right back, to the same old show.
What did you guys think overall? The headline segment was the return of Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was back with Paul Heyman. I think it was a very good week for Paul Heyman in that he had all the leverage in the world. They definitely needed Paul Heyman to bring back Brock Lesnar to sell this program with Randy Orton. How did you think they utilized last night Brock Lesnar, that segment? We saw Randy Orton come back at the RKO and then leave through the crowd. Are you surprised they didn't bring up at all his what's been in the news lately with Brock Lesnar failing drug testing? I just thought overall, what'd you think of the angle last night with Orton and Lesnar?
Well, I thought it was okay. I mean, you know, Randy Orton, I like Randy Orton. He's a, you know, great wrestler, great competitor, and I think it's going to be a good match between him and Brock Lesnar. So I thought everything they did that was good. I didn't have no problem with none of that. I thought that was great.
I don't know, man. It's like, okay, they had Randy Orton say the comments about Brock Lesnar, and then Brock Lesnar doesn't have anything to say about that comment. The no enhancement needed. Paul Heyman didn't mention it anywhere in his monologue he did last night. So I don't know. I have no idea. The segment was hot, though. It was that's probably one of the saving graces of that show last night was Randy Orton coming out there and hitting the RKO on Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's what hyped the crowd. The crowd was really into that. And Randy Orton is probably one of the biggest baby faces they have right now on that roster. You know, it's just a match that you kind of want to see where it's going to go here. But the question is going to be, when it comes time at SummerSlam, will Brock Lesnar put over Randy Orton? Or is it Suplex City for Randy Orton?
Maybe Paul Heyman forgot about all the news this week or the last couple weeks. I don't know.
But I don't know, man. I mean, Mark Hunt's been out there. He's still running his mouth about it, so he's not happy. And it's kind of like WWE situation. It's like, you know, it really makes them look bad because you won't suspend Lesnar because the wellness policy doesn't pertain to part-time wrestlers, but you just suspended Roman Reigns. So that makes them look bad. And you hear in the locker room there that a lot of wrestlers don't really care for that very much. They think it's a double standard there. But as you and Teddy and I were talking about, you know, before we started recording the show here, is how does an independent contractor even have to take that test to begin with?
It's a good question. I don't know, Teddy.
I don't know either, brother. I have no idea. You know, I just, when I was there, you know, I just follow the rules. That's all I can tell you.
I guess the only thing you can say from a company standpoint is you signed the contract. I don't know if that language is specific for the contract to say you're subjected to our wellness policy. I don't know. Maybe Teddy can speak to that. Does it say in your WWE contract that you will be tested or you can be randomly tested or you have to submit to the wellness policy?
Well, when I signed my contract back then, nothing was in there about the drug policy that you'd be, you know, randomly tested. It was just about the rules and regulations of the contract. But they did send out a notice when they started the drug test. They did put that out to let people know that they would be tested, and they put out also everything on the list that, you know, if you had in your system that you would fail for. So basically that's all I can say about that wellness policy. You know, I don't know. All I know, you know, is just when they come, you pee. That's all. That's all. If your name's on the list, you go piss. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know, Frank. You know, as independent contractor, we've talked about how do they get away with independent contractor status. The guys are not considered employees. They're independent contractors. So by definition, they should be able to do kind of what they want when they're not working for the company. But certainly those rules don't apply. A lot of double standards here in this whole situation. And I was a little surprised they didn't bring up the drug test. But then again, I don't know, Frank, how do they address that? Especially when you have Randy Orton bringing it up, who's already has two strikes against him.
I don't know. And I think looking back on it, maybe that wasn't the best line for Randy Orton to use, the no enhancement either line. I mean, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know how they get away with a lot of things that they do.
I want to ask you this, too. I mean, if Randy Orton used that line, you know, was that written or did Randy Orton go out there and say that on his own?
I don't know, man. It looked to me like Orton went out there and did that on his own. I might be wrong. I mean, this is WWE, you know, and everything is already overly scripted, so I might be wrong. But it just looks to me from the reaction, it looked like he winged that one.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is because, you know, what he said, I mean, is just something if you're an employee there, you know, and you're under contract, I mean, that's just something that that you don't say. So I just don't know.
With them not addressing it on the show, it does look like he went off the script for that particular promo.
Yeah,
because Paul Heyman would have had a rebuttal. He would have had to say something about that, and he didn't mention anything about that in his promo.
Well, I tell you what, as days goes on, we will certainly see. We'll just have to, you know, pay attention and see what happens with Randy Orton, if there's going to be any repercussions or if there's going to be any backlash about it. I don't know.
Well, the obvious question now is SummerSlam's going to be coming up here in a few weeks. You have Orton. You have Brock Lesnar. I don't know, Teddy. Who do you put over in this one?
Well, I mean, if you want to do good business, I mean, you know, I mean, Brock Lesnar just came off of a big fight and a big win. I mean, and you also got Randy Orton that is certainly over as one of the biggest baby faces that they got. And I think they need to take advantage of that because, I mean, they don't have too many baby faces there that are over like Randy Orton. So if it was me and you want to do business, I would put Randy Orton over. But I just don't know, you know, whether that'll happen or not.
They pretty much have to, don't they, Frank?
You would think that Randy Orton beating Brock Lesnar is something that needs to happen, but they might decide, you know what, who do we have more invested in here with Brock Lesnar or Randy Orton? And they might just let Brock Lesnar go over Orton. To me, honestly, if I'm Randy Orton, if I've been off for 9 months, I come back and I'm pretty over right now with the crowd, why in the world would you guys job me out to Brock Lesnar?
And the other thing, too, you're going to need Randy Orton, you know, because I think John Cena, you know, he's going to go off. I heard something that he may take another hiatus and he's going to be gone for a while and be doing movies and Hollywood stuff. So you need Randy. You got to have somebody there to carry the company, and I think Randy Orton can do it.
Yeah, Lesnar gets a lot of wins for being a part-time worker. So you wonder if maybe he has some sort of creative control mechanism in his contract where he can decide if he wants to put people over or not. I mean, he did beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So you wonder if he has some sort of input into the decision to be made ultimately at SummerSlam.
I don't know, man. All I know is this. If I'm booking the match, I'm going to have Randy Orton go over Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar's just going to disappear, and he won't be back until Survivor Series. That's what I would do.
You could really stretch that out all the way to WrestleMania, too. You know what I mean? You could have Brock Lesnar and, you know, come back at SummerSlam. You know, does your second match, and maybe you do something there that would take it all the way into WrestleMania. I think that would be a headliner for WrestleMania, Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, I just don't know which direction they want to go with it. You know, you just don't ever know.
So I think the problem with that, though, is that once you've already done the match, the match is no longer deemed special enough to be at WrestleMania. But, you know, you never know because there's rumor right now going around that Sasha Banks versus Bayley is one of the matches they want to do at WrestleMania, and we've already seen that many times in NXT. So, I don't know. I could be wrong there. But Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar as a headliner for WrestleMania next year, I just don't see it happening myself.
Well, that's a rumored match. I don't know if they have booked that far in advance, to be honest with you.
That's what I said.
Booked on the fly.
Yeah,
right, it's just a rumor. Right, yeah. So I would take that with a grain of salt. But, I mean, it makes sense from a storyline standpoint of how they brought in Bayley, and then maybe they have a year-long build-up to a WrestleMania match. But, you know, Frank, you were just alluding to Mark Hunt, and I kind of feel for the guy. I'm not a UFC person, per se. Not really into mixed martial arts, but you got to feel for the guy. He takes this fight. It ultimately is revealed that Brock was on something, and, you know, he's got a legitimate gripe. I met one time he said he wanted, what, half the money, half of Brock Lesnar's money. I kind of feel for the guy. I don't know what ultimately will happen with him, but he's got a legitimate beef here that, you know, I did this UFC fight, and I took on Brock Lesnar, and I was in danger because they put me in a fight against a guy who was obviously on something, and I don't know what Dana does ultimately with him, but I think legally he's got pretty good shoes to stand on.
Oh, definitely, yes, pretty good shoes to stand on and pretty good grounds. And the thing that Mark Hunt should do is get you an attorney and then go out to UFC. That's what you do. I mean, saying all this stuff in social media and saying stuff against Brock Lesnar, that's not going to get you anywhere. Nobody cares about any of that stuff. What's going to happen is you got to get a lawyer, a shark lawyer, to go after UFC, and then that's how you get your money. That's how it works. So, I mean, I feel bad for the guy, too, but at the end of the day, get a lawyer, and don't have any frivolous stuff going on, and you'll get paid. Because they know me, because UFC and Dana White knows that Brock Lesnar is wrong in the situation. I mean, come on, the guy failed 2 tests. So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Something that broke yesterday in breaking news was Lillian Garcia has decided to leave WWE. There was all kinds of rumors at the time they were releasing people that Lillian's name would eventually come up. They would let her go. And she revealed yesterday that, you know, she's been off television for a while. She's not traveling with WWE. She's made it known that her father is sick. From what I understand, he's battling 2 forms of cancer, which just sounds unbelievable. But Lillian, is, at this point, has decided to be with her father at this time. She feels that her father needs her, and I can't blame her. I applaud her for supporting family, and that she has basically left WWE. So I know, Teddy, you worked with Lillian before, and you know, we're just all praying for Lillian's dad at this point.
Yeah, Lillian is a very nice person, man. I really enjoy working with her. I mean, just a sweetheart of a lady. And it's really sad to hear that her dad's going through, you know, all these complications. But thank God, in another sense, that he has a daughter like Lillian, to somebody that would give up her job to go home to take care of her father. And I think that's a big step that she's, you know, on her part. And so I just say God bless him, and I hope everything works out with her dad.
And I would say, what, Frank, moving forward, maybe JoJo becomes the new ring announcer in Raw?
Pretty much. It looks like that's what they're going with the situation. I have to say, though, with Lillian Garcia leaving the company here, it really is the end of an era. I mean, you know, there is no more Howard Finkel, and Lillian Garcia was kind of like the last lineage to that era, and now she's gone. So it sucks, and, you know, I wish her and her father well, and that's all I can say about it.
And this is on the heels of, too, they lost Eden as well. Couple of the ring announcers are gone now.
Well, you know something, it just makes opportunity for JoJo and anybody else to step up to the plate and take it to the next level, and that's pretty much what we're seeing right now.
Road Warrior Animal is not a fan of Sasha Banks. Going back to Sasha Banks, we just talked about her on the Raw show, and boy, Road Warrior Animal gets some heat for these comments. And then I was looking for it online. I saw a couple sites mention it, and I'm looking for it online. I want to verify before I put it on Gerwick.net. And the comments are gone. Somebody says it's on Facebook. It's on his Twitter. I'm looking on his Twitter. I'm looking on his Facebook. I don't see it. And our good friend Anthony there, the missionary man, helped us out and found the comments. Because what eventually happened was the comments were removed. And basically he said, how much does WWE pay Muscle and Fitness to put on their own cover? Common Sasha Banks, another attempt to shove someone down people's throats. Let them get over themselves about that. Get real. And then when I'm looking for this comment, the comment is gone. So it looks like Road Warrior Animal just deleted the comments altogether. But the problem, of course, with social media is that once you say something, it's out there. It's been recorded. So I guess, you know, we've heard stories about Road Warrior Animal behind the scenes being pretty bitter. It looks like he took out a little frustration there on Sasha Banks there, Teddy.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say about Joe. You know, God, I worked with him, for many, many years back in the day with him and Hawk. I don't know what to tell you. Joe just seems to be angry for no apparent reason. You know, I got to say all the time, you know, you guys got to get over it. You know, if you're out of the wrestling business, you're out of the wrestling business. Let it go. Just do whatever else you need to do to continue to enjoy the rest of your life. So I don't know why he's so angry. I have no idea, but he's certainly bitter, you know, for some reason.
His comments are bullshit, okay? You talk about somebody getting over on their own. Did you not see NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, the match that Bayley and Sasha Banks put on? I don't understand where he's coming from with these comments here. Maybe Road Warrior Animal needs to be more concerned with coming up with more frivolous lawsuits against the WWE because they won't hire your ass even though your brother works there. They worry about what's going on with Sasha Banks. And I've seen a lot of people lately haterizing on Sasha Banks for some reason. I guess it goes like this. You know, she's one of the best female wrestlers in the world, but once she gets that push, then people start turning on you. People want to haterize on you, and that's pretty much what's going on right now with Sasha Banks, period. You know, same thing happened with Charlotte. Same thing will happen in the future when Finn Balor eventually gets the championship or AJ Styles gets the championship. Haters are going to hate. And right now, it's just Road Warrior Animal haterizing for whatever reason. And then the part about it is this. If it's me and I'm going to say something on Twitter or whatever, I'm going to keep the shit up there. I ain't going to do the old tweet and delete. I'm going to stand by what I got to say. And obviously, he says something and then deleted the shit. I don't get that. If you're going to say something, if you're going to talk shit, back it up. That's pretty much what it is. If you're going to talk shit, back it up. And a lot of people out there, a lot of marks, they don't do that. And people think I'm talking about the terminology of mark with wrestling fans. I'm talking about marks like in the street. Marks don't do that. All right? And Road Warrior Animal, just, you're a mark. That's pretty much what it is. You're a bitter road mark, and you're trying to take shots at WWE any way you possibly can because I guess you feel that you ain't getting the respect you think you deserve. And I'm going to just be quite honest with it. They ain't sucking your dick like you want them to. Your brother works there, and you can't get a job. The best thing to do right now is to take shots at current talents and then make up a lawsuit against the company for shit that happened to you supposedly years ago. Meanwhile, when you and Hawk were out there doing that doomsday device, you were injuring people left and right. So it's just bullshit. See, it's pretty much it. And if anybody out there don't like it, it is what it is.
No, you tell it like it is on this podcast. What was odd was I saw the story on internet. And let's face it, Frank, we see all kinds of BS on the internet or on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. I need to investigate this. So I'm looking for these comments and the comments are gone. So I'm thinking either the story was bogus, which is very possible. As you saw, Teddy, they make up deaths about people left and right on the internet anymore. So I want to make sure before I put a comment attributed to Road Warrior Animal that he actually made that comment and it was just gone. And I agree with Frank. If you're going to put something on social media, especially in 2016, when you know as soon as you release a comment or statement, it gets part of the logs. It's out there. People see it. They copy it. You can't just delete a comment. I agree totally with what Frank said and reminds me what the Billy Gunn's wife made a comment and then she deletes it. You can't do that. If you believe strongly in something, if he really feels that Sasha Banks is overpushed, then stand behind the comment. You can't just make a comment like that and delete it. And that's where we are in 2016 is, you know, Twitter, Facebook is really great. They can communicate with the masses out there, but you have to be very careful what you say. I know you are, Teddy. You don't want to say something that you kind of fly off the handle and you're like, oh, shoot, maybe I shouldn't have said that. So you have to be very careful, and apparently he's not.
Well, the thing is you have to think before you act. It's just that simple. When you got, you know, you're mad about something, you know you're getting ready to put something out on Twitter. So you need to sit down and think about that, you know, so you make sure whatever you're saying, you know what you're talking about. And then you got to know one thing. The bottom line is once that tweet is out there, you just said it, it's out there. You can delete it, take it down, do whatever you want to. But once it's out there, it's out there. So you need to be able to stand behind it. If I say something and I know I've said this, even though if I know I said the wrong thing, you need to apologize for what you put out there or you need to stand behind it.
Yeah, I think, that's a good comment there. Maybe he should apologize for that comment because he certainly was out of line. Sasha Banks being pushed down our people's throats right now, I don't... She just won the women's championship.
He makes the comment, though. He's basically saying because she's on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, WWE is paying people. Are they paying people? And she, you know, she's being pushed down people's throats. Okay, hey, listen, Animal. So you and Hawk weren't pushed down people's throats? Really? Road Warriors weren't ever pushed down people's throats? I'm sorry, but you know what? I was always a demolition guy. I never really saw the appeal of the fucking Road Warriors. And that's just how it is with me. You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I was always a demolition guy. To me, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So obviously, if you haven't been watching the product and you don't realize that Sasha Banks got herself over by doing really good matches with Bayley, I don't know what to tell you. But I will say this. When it comes to Sasha Banks, and it goes back to last Monday, and it goes back to this Monday, whenever Sasha Banks is in the ring doing high-flying maneuvers, I kind of get worried. I kind of get worried that one of these days, this girl is going to seriously injure herself because she tends to botch those type of moves. That's one of the flaws I see here with Sasha Banks. I will say that. But for him to come out and say that, you know, she's not over and she's being pushed down people's throats, that's bullshit. That's crap. How many months was Sasha Banks not even doing really anything on Raw until recently when she wrestled Charlotte? I don't know, man. I think Animal just needs to worry about that lawsuit and see if that lawsuit's going to actually come to fruition and stop knocking the bus.
Yeah, Teddy, you were there with WWE. I mean, they've changed a little bit now. they got rid of the Divas Championship. It's the Women's Championship. But it's hard for me to believe there's any woman they'd push down your throat, because obviously they're so heavy on the men. I can't imagine they'd push any woman down anybody's throat.
Well, I don't think that's what they're doing. You know, my thing is this. You know, I like to say congratulations to Sasha Banks. You know, those kids are young. They got a great future ahead of them. Men, you know, the girls and the guys that are there. A lot of young talent. Finn Balor, you know, for one of them. So I'm just, you know, happy to see them get an opportunity. You know what I mean? Get a break in this business, because this, you know, it's real hard now sometimes for people to get an opportunity and to get a break. So Sasha Banks has got a great opportunity. She's getting a break, and I hope she uses it wisely and does exactly what they tell her to do and get out there and just keep doing what she's doing. And I congratulate her, man. I don't think she's being pushed down anybody's throat.
I definitely agree with you. We're going to be back real quickly here on the GRP. We're going to pause for the cause. More GRP right after this.
If you want to truly style and profile and tell it like it is, you got to be wearing the official t-shirt. Head over right now to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. That is the official merchandise store of Gurick.net. 8 great designs, $17.99. Plus shipping and handling will get you one of our shirts. Check them out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. They ship internationally, domestically, PayPal, debit, credit, you name it, they got it. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to Gurick.net, your number one source on the World Wide Web for the latest in pro wrestling news since 1997.
Marty Daniels here, letting you know the Gurick Report podcast is available via Gurick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gurick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gurick Report Podcast, and subscribe. And now, another classic Teddy Long moment.
I want you to watch Rodney Mack as he cleans this white boy's clock. Believe that.
Cleans his clock?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's all about the dollar bill, y'all.
Rodney Mack physically intense is attempting to dissect a very popular and very prominent superstar here in the WWE, Spike Dudley.
Now watch Rodney Mack right here, JR. You see him? Now he's right on top of Spike Dudley, because we ain't taking no prisoners. Believe that. Now, you know, as I sit between you two, is this another trick on the man? What is this? I'm in a car seat. What's really going on here, player?
No, I don't think that's a test.
To get you a booster chair.
Oh, listen, before you start talking too much, you know I did a little background check on you. What about that black nanny you had working for you?
What?
Want to talk about that? Oh, yeah. Whitey got your tongue, too. Yeah, well, let's get back to the ring here.
Hey, JR, is that true?
No.
Yes, it is. Watch Rodney Mack right here, player. A little thugging and bugging on Spike Dudley.
We now return to the Gurick Report podcast with Steve Gurick, Frank D, and future WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long.
You know, one thing we brought up on a previous podcast, Frank, was this Jeff Hardy situation, which you know, a lot of people have scratched their head. They saw the video. He's going crazy in the ring, drop kicking a ladder. And apparently he wanted to clarify what happened, and he said, quote, "I finished the match with a frustrated breakdown where I'm trying to break a ladder, break tables. Many people hadn't seen that. So naturally, people are wondering, what the hell is wrong with Jeff Hardy? Oh my God, he's fallen off the wagon. And this is that. It was nothing like that." End of quote from Jeff Hardy. So I guess he wanted to clarify the situation, let everybody know he's not falling off the wagon. There's always those rumors about Jeff Hardy, but I don't know, Frank, to go to that extent to break a ladder, it did look a little strange.
Steve, did you not watch the final deletion?
I did see the final deletion.
All right, so there was nothing strange about Jeff Hardy trying to break a ladder then and break tables. Nothing
well,
strange about it at all.
You got me there.
That's typical Jeff Hardy. I never once thought the guy was on anything or was – no, it never came across that at all. I just – hey, it's Jeff Hardy, man.
Yeah, it was just crazy for Teddy, his Juggalo show, the guys in the ring, trying to break a ladder. I guess that just happens.
Well, hey, it's like Frank Faye, that's Jeff Hardy, because he used to tell me stories about when he was a little kid, how him and Matt and his dad used to ride these dirt bikes and how they took all these, you know, these ridiculous chances on doing stuff with the dirt bike. So he's been pretty much out there ever since he was a kid. So he just tries stuff, man. That's all I can tell you.
I want to mention here Jake the Snake Roberts, the WWE Hall of Famer, was asked about a possible return to WWE. It'd be interesting to see how they could use somebody like Jake the Snake. And he said, basically, if they would call, he'd be right back. He would definitely take him up on it. And he says, because I love wrestling, and the Lord knows wrestling needs some help right now. Well, I think we all agree with that for sure.
Give me a hell yeah!
What could you see Jake the Snake doing if they would bring him back? Could they use him as a mouthpiece, Teddy, behind the scenes? What would be the maximum use of somebody like Jake the Snake Roberts in today's wrestling product?
Well, I think Jake the Snake would be very good behind the scenes as far as being an agent and working with the young guys, you know, helping them with their matches. Jake has a lot of experience. You know, he has a great mind for this business. And at one particular time, he was a guy that worked behind the scenes, you know, back in the day and did a lot of stuff and was certainly a big influence in the Watts territory when Bill Watts was running the territory down there. So Jake has a great mind, and I think Jake would be a great asset, and he would be able to help a lot of those young guys. So I think, you know, if they did call Jake back to come behind the scenes and work as an agent, I think he would be great.
That might be the line of the year, Frank. The Lord knows wrestling needs some help right now.
I mean, he ain't lying, man. But to sum it up with Jake Roberts, where would Jake Roberts fit in? It would definitely be behind the scenes. And Jake Roberts would definitely work at the Performance Center in the promo class. I mean, Jake Roberts is one of the greatest talkers ever in the business. And he can actually teach these youngsters coming up how to talk and when to do this and when to do that and teach them the psychology of this business and how to tell a good story out there. I think Jake Roberts would definitely be beneficial to the current, you know, new generation, new era of WWE, definitely.
Yeah, where did Jake learn all that from, Teddy? Was that from his dad? I mean, he was one of the greatest talkers of all time. Yeah.
Yeah, he learned that from his dad, Grizzly. And like I said, Jake come up with old school. He learned it the hard way, and he knows it the right way. So he certainly could be a big help there.
All right, I definitely agree. And we started the show talking about Raw and got into some comments about Finn Balor. We noted up front there's been some comments made about him from some wrestling superstars, some legends in this business that we want to address here. Rey Mysterio did an interview where he was talking about he saw Raw last week. He liked the show. He liked Finn Balor. He got the main event spot right away. But he thought he was a little dull in his appearance. Obviously, he probably alluding to in NXT he used the paint. And he comes on television, he's just Finn Balor. And he felt they missed an opportunity there. Now, I know when talking to Frank, maybe eventually he'll don the paint for some of the bigger matches. But did you get that sense, Teddy, when you watch Finn, when he showed up on Raw, he got two wins right away, beat some of the bigger superstars in the company. But did they miss an opportunity? I think the backdrop of it all is they have to make people really get into Finn. If you didn't see NXT, why do you have a root interest for somebody like Finn Balor other than he's new, he's not John Cena, he's not Randy Orton, he is somebody new. But I don't know, you saw the debut of Finn, did you feel they missed an opportunity with him?
Well, I don't feel that they missed an opportunity. I just feel like, you know, with him, I think they're just rushing it. I think they're giving him too much too soon. And like Frank said earlier, you know, the reason that, you know, a lot of people didn't respond to him because a lot of people don't know him. You know, a lot of people don't watch NXT, so they didn't know him. So my thing is this, you know, like I said, a lot of times they rush things, and I guess they do that for a reason. But with Finn Balor, a greater talent as he is, I would take my time with him. I'd get him out on TV, you know, give him some wins, and then basically work with him for his mic skills and his promo skills. I think that's where he's kind of, you know, lacking a little bit with the mic skills. But other than that, I just think they're just going too fast with him, and, you know, like I said, that's not my call, but you got to slow down a minute, take your time with this guy, because I think there's money in him. You know, I think he's going to be good, but you just can't, you know, just push him out there and just put him on his own because, you know, those guys don't know. Walking out on that live TV, man, it's a whole different ball game. You can sit back there and talk about it, but once you walk out there, man, it's another whole deal. So I think they didn't miss. I don't believe they missed an opportunity. I think they just need to take their time with Finn.
What do you think, Frank? Ultimately, they saved the face paint that he used in NXT, maybe on the bigger shows in WWE.
Well, Finn Balor didn't wear the face paint every week in NXT when he was down there wrestling matches. The face paint only was used at the TakeOver specials. So at SummerSlam and some of the pay-per-views moving forward for the Raw brand, Finn Balor would definitely use the paint. But you can't use the paint every single week that he comes out there, because then you're going to basically make the paint mean nothing. I mean, he only does that for big matches when he, you know, quote-unquote summons a demon. He has to put the paint on and become the demon in order to get something accomplished here. So you'll definitely see that at SummerSlam. But right now, you're just seeing Finn Balor as Finn Balor. It is what it is. That's just pretty much it.
And the other thing, too, I think that basically what they need to do, too, is make a video package on Finn, you know, and start showing some of that stuff that the people that don't watch NXT haven't seen, you know, and run that video package on him for, you know, maybe a minute of that, you know, so let the people, you know, kind of show some highlights of what he's done in NXT. So that way, you know, for the people that don't know him, they'll get to know him.
A vignette package? Teddy, that's old school. They don't want to do that. This is the new era.
Well, it worked back then. I don't know why it won't work now.
Well, they were playing promos last night for American Alpha, you know, kind of highlighting their stuff, you know, talking about they're coming to SmackDown tonight. So it's not beyond them to do a vignette package for the wrestlers. I think moving forward, you know, as we get closer to SummerSlam and you really start seeing this match, you're going to see a video package for him and Seth Rollins moving forward. I think they're going to highlight everything that Finn Balor's done down in NXT and maybe even, you know, before NXT, you know. Let's really start talking about, you know, one of the things they would do on TV when AJ Styles arrived there, they were talking about the relationship between AJ Styles, Anderson, and Gallows. Let's start talking about Finn Balor's relationship with Anderson and Gallows. Let's talk about Finn Balor, who was, you know, the guy who created the Bullet Club. Let's really start, you know, going into that aspect of Finn Balor and let people know who really Finn Balor is, you know, and they haven't done that so far. And I think a lot of it, too, is it's just any way you want to slice it, when it comes down to the bottom line here, Seth Rollins is a bigger star than Finn Balor. I think we all can agree with that.
I just like the idea that Teddy said, if you're going to bring him up in 6 weeks, of course, I guess maybe this time around you'd say, well, we didn't know because we just did this draft, and you know, we can't say we're bringing him in. But I think in the future, with bringing up guys from NXT, I love the vignette packages for 3-4 weeks. Say, this guy's coming. Make him seem like something special. You could show him in NXT with face paint. But I think ultimately, you know, Ray's alluding to the merchandise and eventually with the face paint, I don't know. Are you talking maybe you can have a Finn Balor action figure and a Finn Balor action figure with the face paint? I don't know. Maybe the Finn Balor shirt with his face and the Finn Balor painted face paint as well. I think moving forward, he criticizes us from that, Frank, but I think moving forward, they'll cash in on the merchandise for sure.
I caught bits and pieces of Raw last night as well, which I actually thought was a good closing segment for something refreshing, you know, for the fans to see. I mean, who would have thought that they were? Was this Finn Balor's debut?
Yes.
On Raw?
Yep.
Wow, he got a main event spot right away. The only thing I didn't like, and you guys might know more on why this happened, was he looked very plain when he came out. I wanted to see him with a gimmick, you know, because that just brings a lot more charisma to his character.
Yeah. No, and obviously more marketing opportunities. I don't understand either, bro, because that's their big thing. When I saw that gimmick, I'm sure we all thought the same thing. Wow, he's going to make money off of merchandising with that shit, you know?
Does anybody have any idea why he wasn't able to use it?
As I understand it, that character is supposed to just be a facet of the Finn Balor character and something that comes out at times for special matches and things, but maybe the first time he becomes it up here, he'll stay that way. Who knows?
I think they already are cashing in on merchandise. I mean, Finn Balor has multiple T-shirts out right now with the old demon look. You know, they just released one not too long ago when he was in NXT, you know. So the merchandise is already there. It's just that what Rey Mysterio has to understand is that the paint is only brought out for special occasions. It's not something that you bring out every week on Raw. You know, maybe moving forward, if they say, oh, we have a huge match here now on Monday Night Raw, and it's going to be for the championship, then maybe you'll see him, you know, don the face paint that night. But it's just not something that I've seen him use regularly on NXT television. It was always for the TakeOver specials. Something that I alluded to a few minutes ago, I want you to get you guys your comments on it right quick. Do you think at this point in time, and the way people are seeing it, do you think that they are seeing it as Seth Rollins is the biggest star? Who is Finn Balor?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's like Frank saying, he's definitely right. You just got to, you know, go with what you got right now. Finn Balor is certainly going to grow on people. There's no doubt about that. You know, he's certainly going to grow on people. But I think, like I said, it just takes a little bit of time. And right now, I think with the WWE, they don't have a whole lot of time. They ain't about, you know, trying to, you know, learn people. You supposedly got your training and your learning in NXT. So once you make it to the big roster there, you supposed to, in their eyesight, you're ready to go. So, you know, like I said, if I were them, I would just take my time with him.
Well, does this bring up a booking dilemma then? Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. I don't think you want to put the title on Finn Balor right now, but do you have Seth beat Finn Balor clean at SummerSlam?
Well, I don't know, man. That's a hard question there, because now they've got plans, I'm sure, for Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. So I don't know. I definitely there's another way you could do that. You know what I mean? That you could do like a double count out. Both guys get counted out where you could protect both of them, you know, and set them up for another match. But I just don't know which way they're gonna go with it. So I can't answer that.
How would you book it, Frank? The fantasy booker. Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor at SummerSlam.
Well, I would book it like this. Seth Rollins would be the babyface of the situation. This is actually something I heard, and I actually like the idea of a double turn. Have Finn Balor turn heel, Seth Rollins go babyface. Because even after Seth Rollins dissed the Atlanta Braves last night, the people were still behind him. And they weren't really going with Finn Balor until Finn Balor says, I'm going to hand you your ass. That was it. I would book a finish where Seth Rollins loses because of Anderson the Gallows' interference, making Finn Balor the first WWE Universal Champion. And that's where I would go with it, and have Seth Rollins as a babyface chase the heel Finn Balor, who now is aligned with Anderson the Gallows and part of the club. That's what I would do. And I'd also put the tag team championship belts on the club so the club can be the dominant faction on Raw. They have all the gold.
Do you like that idea, Teddy, and maybe eventually moving Seth Rollins into a babyface role?
Well, yeah, I like that idea. Like Frank was saying, after he trashed the Braves, you know, people were still behind him, but, you know, you got to look at this. That wasn't really something to me that would get any heat. I mean, they already know the Braves are horrible. You know, they already know that. So
yeah.
I'm just saying, I'd have come up with something else that you could have used in Atlanta, you know, that probably could have got him a little more heat that they might have really booed him. But I agree with Frank. I would probably go that way, too.
And while we're on the subject of Finn Balor, Ric Flair, he was mentioned last night on Monday Night Raw. He is, of course, doing his own podcast now, The Ric Flair Show. And he brought up Finn Balor, or Finn Balor was brought up to him. And he ultimately feels that Finn Balor, being his size, a cruiserweight, that he'll never headline WrestleMania, which, you know, what comes to mind when I think that, I think Bret Hart and HBK were not exactly the biggest guys, but, you know, they went on to headline WrestleMania. Basically, he said on his podcast that he'd rather pay his money to see Ambrose versus Ziggler than Finn Balor taking on Seth Rollins at SummerSlam coming up.
Finn Balor over Roman Reigns. The internet lost their mind, but every now and again you hear some whispers from old-timers who don't necessarily get Finn Balor and don't understand what makes him so special. We've never talked about him specifically, though. Where are you at on this? Is this a good thing that Roman's first match back on TV, he loses?
Well, actually, he won that match before in the first seg, but I thought Roman should have won. But I know Finn Balor to say hi only. I'm a big fan of Roman Reigns. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, Finn Balor reminds me of the Dynamite Kid. Does that make sense?
Wow, absolutely.
Very similar in appearance, same kind of work. And, you know, I mean, he's a great performer. Gosh, I'm certainly not taking away from his performance or the match, but I'm, you know, I'm a fan of Roman Reigns, so I'm saying something, you know, that I'm partial about. And I think Roman is, you know, to me, he's got one of the greatest looks ever in the business. He's as handsome as can be. He speaks well. He's got his self-confidence back. He's been through some ups and downs, which we all go through in life. But, I mean, I'm just a big fan of his. But that doesn't take anything away from Finn Balor. And where I see Dolph against Seth Rollins is being huge. Dolph against
Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam. I see that as being a bigger match than I see Finn Balor against Seth Rollins. I just think Seth's got too much experience. And as, like I said before about Randy, Seth Rollins is the second Randy Orton. He's that good. So if I'm looking at what's going to draw money and what I would pay to see, I would pay to see Dolph against Ambrose before I'd pay to see Finn Balor against Seth Rollins. I think Finn Balor is great too. I just think that you got a legitimate heavyweight in Seth Rollins, legitimate heavyweight in Roman Reigns. I don't think we'll ever see the day, and I could be totally wrong, that a cruiserweight will ever main event a WrestleMania.
You stupid idiot!
And that's kind of what you have to look at, I think, in the total picture of the business.
So you think you would consider Finn Balor a cruiserweight?
Give me a break.
He's of that size. I mean, if you look at the two of them side by side, he's got a great physique. Gosh, but he's smaller. Yeah, I don't think he weighs 200 pounds.
Right.
I mean, if it's kind of like if you ask a boxing fan, everybody loved Floyd Mayweather, and God, there have been guys like Sugar Ray Robinson, but go down the list now. Who would you rather go see, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, or the middleweight, or Sugar Ray Robinson and, who's De Niro, who did De Niro play? I can't think of his name, but you know, the Raging Bull.
Yeah.
Teddy, as I said, I can think of a lot of guys that would be considered smaller that went on to actually have a match and actually headline a match at WrestleMania. I don't know, Teddy, long term, do you see Finn Balor maybe fitting into the main event equation and eventually headlining a WrestleMania?
Well, yeah. Well, you just don't ever know. It's like what they're saying to you. It's a new era now. So there may be a lot of things that they're going to do now that they probably wouldn't have done maybe 2 years ago. So it's going to be a big change, and it's a new era. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I love Blair to death, but, I mean, that's his opinion, you know, that's how he feels. But I don't know any WrestleMania that he ever headlined, you know. I don't know one of them, so I'm just saying, you know, why knock these guys, man? You've been around all these years, you know what I mean? You've made a lot of money. You've been real successful in this business. So be happy for somebody, you know. Be happy for these guys, you know. Wish them the opportunity and hope that they can headline WrestleMania. That's a big step in this business. So don't hate on them, you know. Give these guys, you know, be happy for them.
What do you think, Frank?
I couldn't agree more with Teddy. I mean, here's the deal. Names that are cruiserweights that have headlined WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan, for one. Chris Jericho was another one. Okay? Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, they weren't really big guys. All right? And like Teddy said, what WrestleMania did Ric Flair ever headline, ever main event? He never did. And you can't count WrestleMania 8. I mean, even though they built it as a double main event, the real main event on that show was Sid Justice versus Hulk Hogan. That's what it was. Okay, Randy Savage and Rick had the better match, but the show was built around Hulk Hogan retiring from the WWF. So, I don't know. I don't understand that at all, man. Like Teddy said, this is supposed to be the new era. So, maybe in the new era, a guy the size of Finn Balor, and everybody's knocking on his size. You know, everybody's got something to say about his size. No different than people saying the same shit about Bray Wyatt, or people saying the same shit about AJ Styles. It's all about size now. You didn't really hear that back in the day, though, when people were out there watching Bret Hart go out there and wrestle Mr. Perfect or seeing Shawn Michaels wrestle Razor Ramon. You didn't hear none of that shit. So why is it such a big emphasis now? I don't understand that.
Well, do you think WWE heard these comments? Because it was interesting that Ric Flair was brought up on Monday Night Raw, and they actually alluded that Charlotte could have been a one-night stand for Ric Flair. Was that a little bit of a backhand slap back at Ric Flair?
I think it might have been. I mean, shit. You know, here's the thing with Finn Balor. Finn Balor is one of Triple H's favorite. So I think Flair in the future is going to probably want to watch what he says about certain talents, especially a lot of the guys from NXT, because they are protected by Triple H. So he has to understand that. And it's like, if you look at the situation here, is Ric Flair really going to draw any money for WWE today? Probably not. Finn Balor is the future, along with a lot of the other guys on the roster. So that's Flair's opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I think his opinion is wrong. And history proves that with some of the talents that have been smaller in stature, that have gone on to be world champions, that have gone on to main event WrestleMania, I think his whole logic is flawed.
I agree. Like I said, as soon as I heard those comments, I thought Bret Hart, HBK, neither were considered big guys. A lot of people didn't think they'll never go on to headline WrestleMania, and they got over. I think definitely a few years ago, CM Punk should have probably headlined WrestleMania. He was looking for his moment, never got it. So it seemed like those are some asinine comments. But I guess if he'd rather pay to see Ambrose Ziggler than Rollins against Balor, go for it. Then again, I don't know. Does he have any money, Frank?
I don't know what Ric Flair got. I'm not in the man's pockets. I know Ric Flair, you know, there's always that rumor about $40,000, you know, so.
Kerry Silken.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, man. You know, this ain't the bash Ric Flair show, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. You know, his comments about Finn Balor are wrong. You know, it's no different than we had Vince Russo on the show last week, and Vince Russo, you know, he went in on Finn Balor, too. I mean, Finn Balor pretty much is an acquired taste. You know, some people are going to like him, some people are not going to like him, just like some people like Enzo and some people don't like Enzo. Some people like New Day and some people don't like New Day. Same thing. So everybody has different tastes. But to say the guy would never main event WrestleMania, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. He said the same thing. I know for a fact. He said the same shit. He said something similar to Daniel Bryan a couple of years ago at that 2K panel. He said the same shit. When Daniel Bryan was on the stage, you know, that pretty much Daniel Bryan would never be nothing in the business. And Daniel Bryan went on to main event WrestleMania and win the World Championship, beat Triple H and beat Batista and Randy Orton in one night. So you don't know what's going to happen with Finn Balor.
Yep, totally agree with you. Booker T tweeted a couple days ago that as of July 30th, the Spinneroonie is officially retired, leading to speculation that he's going to retire from the ring, but Teddy hasn't wrestled in a while, and apparently he had some surgery done over the weekend. He's resting. We wish him well. I know he missed Raw last night, the panel discussion on the WWE Network, so looks like Booker T may be at least leaning towards officially done in the ring.
Well, I think he's been officially done in the ring anyway for quite some time, you know, because Booker, you know, he suffers with back problems too. And like you said, he just had surgery on his shoulder there, and I don't know whether that's the same shoulder that I know the last time he had to go out for surgery is where we were filming in London, England, and we were doing a promo there, and all of a sudden he just threw his arm up, I mean, just out of the blue, and the next thing you know, the guy blew his whole shoulder out or something. He's got to go in for surgery. So I hope this may be that same shoulder. I don't know for sure, but I think Booker's, you know, kind of ready to, you know, hang it up. I mean, he's doing good with his own, you know, his own company, Reality of Wrestling. I think that's doing real well for him. And he's been successful in this business, you know what I mean? He's done real good for himself. So, and I can see Booker, he has a great attitude, and I can see him walking away and being happy and, you know, going on and doing, you know, doing his own thing.
Yep. Booker T, any thoughts on that, Frank?
I think Booker T has done all he can in the business. Booker T has nothing left to prove. You know, he's accomplished probably more than he thought he ever would in the industry. And he's, you know, pretty much a household name now. So there's nothing left for Booker T to do. If Booker T was to say that's it, hey, you know what? More power to him. I mean, I think he has a pretty good legacy to be behind.
I totally agree with you. They, I don't know if you saw this, Teddy, but they've already announced a celebrity next week for Raw. Puff Daddy Sean Combs is going to be on Raw next week. Does that make you excited for next week's Raw?
Well, no, not really, because, you know, I like Puff Daddy, but, you know, some of his songs, I listen to him, and some of the artists that he signed, you know, that work for his company are good, but, I mean, just you know, to turn on Raw just to see Puff Daddy, that doesn't do anything for me.
Puff Daddy, Frank?
Man, look, you know what? unless Puff Daddy or Diddy is going to come out there and he's going to talk about Biggie and what happened out here in L.A. with Biggie Smalls, or he's going to talk about what happened with Tupac in Las Vegas, I don't really give a shit about Puff Daddy coming to Monday Night Raw. I don't care. And this is the problem with WWE. Like, they have this concert coming up in, you know, for SummerSlam weekend. I guess it's to benefit a charity, which is, that's great, you know, more power to them to help this charity. But the headlining act for this concert is Flo Rida, all right? I'm sorry, but didn't Bo Dallas already expose Flo Rida for him not really being a good MC? Why the hell would you do that again? You know what I'm saying? Why not book somebody that's actually going to draw and that's actually going to make money for your cause? And the hottest, you know, artist out there right now is Drake. So why not book Drake? Or why not, you know, book somebody like, you know, Future or something? You know what I'm saying? I don't get that. And I know you have no idea who the hell I'm talking about, Steve, but I'm just saying, from a hip-hop...
I know who you're talking about.
I know you know, Texas, you know, I know.
Right.
But from a hip-hop context, why would you not book somebody out there that's actually going to make you money, actually going to draw? All right? You book Drake. You book Meek Mill. You book Future. You book Designer. You got all the guys that's got beef, and put them out there, and let's see what happens.
And you got another, you know, you got a couple of more guys. You got Rich Homie Quan. You got him out there. You know what I mean? He's great.
I mean, if you want to hear somebody whining on the song, you can put Young Thug out there. But you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. That's who's gonna draw. I mean, it ain't 1997 no more. You know what I'm saying? The Bad Boy Dynasty is gone. All right, it's gone. I mean, they were playing last night the promo. They were playing that Bad Boy for Life song. It's over, man. It's over. I mean, they want to do some. You want to bring some outside people in to watching your show. You ain't gonna do it with Puff Daddy. You're gonna do it with somebody like Drake, who people really dig Drake. You know, so that's who.
And they've already used him. You know, he was at WrestleMania and did a big concert there. So Puff Daddy has already been there. He's done that.
Exactly.
Also, Timberland, he's been there and done that. Flo Rida has also been one of the guests. I don't understand it. Maybe they just got some deal where they just get the same guys.
And it all comes down to, like you just said, it comes down to getting the same guys. It all comes down to money. And they don't want to spend the money to get Drake. They don't want to spend the money to get Future or, you know, Young Thug or Designer or, you know, Meek Mill, Rich Homie Quan or whoever. They don't want to do that. They don't want to get Joe Budden out there and Joe Budden go right after Drake. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to do all that. So that's just, it is what it is. And Steve is probably sitting here, gee, I wonder who the hell they're talking about. What's all this stuff they're talking about? What's a Drake? Right, Steve? Is that where you're going with it?
Drake, that was on a Seinfeld episode, wasn't it? The Drake?
Oh, shit.
Boy, I'm really starting to dislike the Drake.
Hate the Drake.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me know when they book Huey Lewis in the News or Daryl Hall and John Oates. Let me know.
Well, yeah, I definitely will let you know when they get booked. You'll be the first to know.
Hey, but I'm not. But you know what? I'm not knocking them either. I like Hall and Oates. I'm not knocking them. You know what I'm
saying? Tom Petty, Hello, Cool J, something like that.
I like them too, but they'll never get booked.
Hell nah.
No.
I mean, if I want to hear Huey Lewis in the News, I watch Back to the Future. It's on Netflix right now, but anyways. You know what I'm saying?
Ray Parker Jr. Got a new Ghostbuster movie out, so bring him back.
Yeah, well, you could. You know, foreigner.
Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my genre.
How many people are you drawing to the concert, Steve?
Yeah, probably not very many.
Yeah. Looking at old VFW, huh?
Whip out my cassettes, baby.
Oh, VFW. Boy, I ain't heard that in a while.
Well, it is what it is.
You're taking my shit now. It is what it is. You're trying to sound hip.
You're rubbing off on me, Frank. We've been working for too long.
Yeah, well, shit.
143 episodes. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is. That is.
All right, poll results. Who is going to win at SummerSlam? We talked about this match a little bit. Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler. Is it possible, Teddy? Is it possible they put Dolph Ziggler over in this one?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either. What do you think, Frank?
The problem with this situation, and I was just talking to people about this the other day in the group, is that you built Dolph Ziggler for so long as a mid-carder and just a guy that you know, he's never going to get the break. And then all of a sudden now he gets the break, and you're supposed to care about him getting a break. And even Dolph Ziggler came out the other day and said that on Twitter or something. He says that people complained that I was never going to get the shot, and then when I finally get the shot, everybody has a problem with it. You know, he said that in some sort of context, you know, like that. And it is what it is, you know. So, you know, here's the deal with Dolph Ziggler, man. You know, I don't think Dolph Ziggler is going to win, but I do have an interest in seeing the match because I want to see if Dolph Ziggler eventually turns heel. I think there's more money in a heel Ziggler taking on a babyface, you know, Dean Ambrose. I think that's where the money is going to be. You know, there's rumors going around, as we talked about on the last GRP, about maybe Kevin Nash coming in as a bodyguard. And I've said, you know, Dolph Ziggler is good, but he ain't no Shawn Michaels. You know, and Dolph Ziggler needs to be more concerned about being Dolph Ziggler and find out who Dolph Ziggler is and stop worrying so much about, you know, trying to be Shawn Michaels or trying to be HBK. That legacy is laid. That's done. You know what I'm saying? So I'd like to see Ziggler be a heel at this point, and I hope WWE pulls the trigger on the heel of Dolph Ziggler because I think that'll work. I really do.
So make a prediction. Who do you think's going over at SummerSlam?
Dean Ambrose.
Yep, people agree with you and us here. 80% think Ambrose is going over Ziggler at SummerSlam. And I want to congratulate Lisa Marie Veron, formerly Victoria, formerly Tara in TNA. She was voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, 82% of the vote. So congratulations to her. Ted, you'd have to agree, she's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. She's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hey, man, you know what? I'm a huge fan of Lisa Marie Veron. She's one of the sexiest females I've ever seen. So I'm definitely a fan of hers and definitely think that she is deserving of being in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. She deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. She deserves to be in the TNA Hall of Fame. So definitely.
She was sexy and she could wrestle. Go for
Hell
it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yep. And we've got Mamba Kitchen. He's got some comments here for us. He said, personally, I hope that Curt Hawkins gets a U.S. and IC run once he returns, and I always have considered him to be the better half of the Major Brothers, though he got buried. I don't know, Frank, was he the better half of that tag team?
I don't think so, because if he was the better half of the tag team, he never would have been released to begin with. Zack Ryder is still there. Curt Hawkins is on his way back. I don't agree with that at all. Even though Zack Ryder had a bad night last Tuesday night, hopefully that doesn't happen to him tonight. But nonetheless, I think that Zack Ryder was the better half. This is my opinion, though. He has his opinion. I got mine.
What do you think, Teddy? Are they going to give Curt Hawkins a push when he returns?
I tell you, these are some tough questions. I don't know, man. I don't know whether they're going to give him a push or not. I mean, they really didn't do much with him when he was there. You know what I mean? They did him and Zack when they were tagged up. You know, they worked with him when they were with Edge. But right after that, you know, they really didn't do much with Curt Hawkins. So I don't see what they're going to be able to do with him now. But like I said, you never know what they've got planned. You never know what's going to happen.
You'd also like to see Shelton return with Charlie Haas, and you could have the world's greatest tag team versus American Alpha. What do you think of that match, Frank?
I like that match. But I think at this point in their careers, American Alpha is they're the new blood, the new breed. World's greatest tag team, they're older now. So American Alpha will probably wrestle circles around them at this point, but I think that would be a good match. And also another good match, too, if you think about it with Shelton Benjamin versus AJ Styles. You got two veterans there, so that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's one I would like to see, Shelton Benjamin and AJ Styles. Now, that's money.
What do you think of Charlie? I haven't heard Charlie Haas's name in quite a while. I don't know what he's doing nowadays, but can't be too much in the wrestling business.
No, I haven't heard his name in a while either, no.
Yeah, I hadn't heard nothing from Charlie either. I think he opened up a supplement store. I think the supplement store that Umaga had, I think him and Charlie were in partnership with that. I don't know whether that's still open or not, but that's the last I heard. He was involved with some supplement store that him and Umaga opened up.
Yeah, I want to say last I heard he was in business for himself, and him and Jackie Gata are still together, and they've got, three or four kids, I believe, now. So Charlie's been busy. He also would like to see, if Undertaker could have one more match, he'd like to see Undertaker versus AJ Styles, the Phenom, against the Phenomenal One. How about it? What do you think of that match?
Well, I think it's brand new. It's the first time ever, and it's something that we've never seen before, so you never know. It might draw some attention.
You like that idea, Frank?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to think about that when I'm on the next show. I'll answer that question. I really got to think about that.
Okay. And then he also would like to know, which brands do you think Tamina, Emma, Tyson Kidd, Nikki Bella, Rosa, and Luke Harper, if they were able to return to the main roster, what show should they be on? Wow, that's a loaded one.
God, I don't know. I mean, they've been on both shows, you know, in the past, so I don't know. I figure, like, wherever they want to put them, I imagine they fit right in.
Yeah, the Bellas were not in the draft because, what, Nikki is hurt, and Bree's not really done much lately, so... And Bree's basically done, right? So it's up to Nikki now?
Yeah, I mean, Nikki's down there training at the Performance Center. I saw a video of her and Bayley, so... I don't know. And people were kind of people were ragging on Nikki because Nikki couldn't take a shoulder block correctly. So I don't know.
So he's got Tamina, Emma, Nikki, and Rosa. And I don't know. Right now, to me, the SmackDown women are very weak, and maybe some of them fit into that category.
I would definitely put them on SmackDown. Yes. Matter of fact, when it came down to the draft seat, because you know there's rumors circulating right now that they're going to have, SmackDown Tag Team Champions and a SmackDown Women's Champion. I really think that the women's division should have been on SmackDown. Just like Raw has the Cruiserweight division exclusive over there, the women's division should have been exclusive to SmackDown. Give you more reason to watch the SmackDown brand. I think Luke Harper and Tyson Kidd, though, I think they'll probably end up on the Raw roster.
And speaking, you know, since we're talking about the women, you know, I did get a chance last night to watch Nia for the first time, and I did a show with her down in Valdosta, Georgia. Well, not Valdosta, it was some part of Georgia, I can't remember where it was, but I was on a show with her, and I had the opportunity to talk to her a little bit, and I'd let her know. I said, golly, if they ever see you, they're probably going to use you, and I guess that did come true, because I saw her walk out on Raw last night, and she's phenomenal, has a great look, so I think they're going in the right direction. If they use her right, she'll be a big star.
And real quickly with Tyson Kidd, I'm not sure he's ever going to wrestle again. So I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't think.
There's people out there that seem to think that he's going to be coming back. So just everything that I heard about the injury, it's amazing he's even alive. So if his neck is really that messed up, do you really want to come back and risk that? You know, I don't know. That's a tough one. But there are some people out there that believe he's coming back.
Well, I think what he should do is listen to his doctors. You know what I mean? And if they tell him not to get back in the ring, I think he better pay attention to that. It's like you said, Frank, that injury he had was really bad. And it is true. He's lucky to be alive. So, I mean, you know, I hope he doesn't get it in his blood that bad till he just, you know, just comes on back anyway just to get back in the ring. I wouldn't do that. So I suggest he listen to his doctors and let them make that decision whether he should come back or not.
And lastly, with Mamba Kitchen here, he's got one dream match he likes to see with Finn Balor with the Demon Paint against the Demon Kane. Could that be a reality?
I really don't want to see that. I really don't want to see that. And probably not because Kane's on SmackDown, so, and Finn's on Raw, so I don't really think it's going to happen.
And I think Kane is going into politics right now from everything I'm reading, so, or at least hinting in that direction.
Right, so.
Yeah. Well, Kane may be ready to retire too. You know, he's been around a long time, and he's had nothing but success, you know, since he's been in the WWE, so I think he's about ready to, you know, retire and enjoy the rest of his life.
Did you have a question, Frank, that you wanted to throw in from somebody?
Yeah, a guy named Al from Atlanta, Georgia, asked us. He says he's been watching a lot of old 2002 episodes of Monday Night Raw when Triple H got the World Heavyweight Championship you know, awards him from Eric Bischoff. So he says he sees a lot of comparisons between Triple H and Seth Rollins and wonders if Seth Rollins becomes the WWE Universal Champion at SummerSlam, will Seth Rollins have a quote-unquote reign of terror, and how bad would it be?
I don't see it happening. They don't let anybody have the titles for that long.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either. I think that the thing with Triple H and his reign of terror was Triple H was the biggest star they had on the Raw brand at the time, and he obviously had influence behind the scenes, as we all know. So that's the reason why he was, you know, pretty much gifted the World Heavyweight Championship, and he ran with it. And Triple H, you know, a lot of times when he should have lost that belt, he kept it. You know, and I bring up a time when he should have lost it. It was Unforgiven 2002. He wrestled Rob Van Dam, and he should have lost the belt, but they didn't do it. And another time, obviously, Triple H versus Booker T, WrestleMania 19. He should have lost it. He didn't lose it. So there you go.
You know, I saw a stat the other day, because for this month of August, we want to know if you consider the magnificent Don Morocco a Gerwick.net Hall of Famer. You can vote on that right now at Gerwick.net. But I was looking him up, Frank, and he ranks number 2 all time in total number of days as IC champion, only trailing Pedro Morales. He only had 2 reigns. So he had 514 total days over 2 reigns. Chris Jericho has had the title 9 times, and combined he's had the title 318 days. So in his 9 reigns as IC champion, he didn't have the title for a full year in total number of days. So that just shows you how many times they switch the titles anymore versus what they used to do back in the day when, you know, you could have somebody hold a championship for a year, a year and a half. They just don't do that anymore.
No, and they play hot potato with the damn thing. So,
right.
And the IC championship, just, it used to be known as the workhorse title, and it's just, it doesn't have that luster anymore at all. It's a nice replica, though.
Teddy, what do you got coming up on the schedule? And TeddyLong.com.
Well, what's happening this week on August the 13th, I'm going to be in Bentley, Georgia, and I'm going to be there for a big meet and greet with a big wrestling convention there. There's going to be a lot of guys there. Hall of Famer Ron Simmons is going to be on hand, Ronnie Garvin, Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, Ricky Steamboat, Tracy Smothers, Sabu, Jesus, and the list goes on. So meet and greet time there in Dudley, Georgia will be 12 o'clock until 5. I'll be that right there doing that. Then they've got a big wrestling show right after the meet and greet. Dr. Tom Pritchard, he's one of the wrestlers. He's going to be on that show. And then on August the 19th, I'm going to be in Crestview, Florida at the John Boy Auditorium, and I'll be there appearing along with a lot of the TNA wrestling stars. So that's kind of what's going on with me for the month of August. All the fans know that on September the 10th, I'm going to be in Metairie, Louisiana for Wildcat Sports. We're going to start our first TV show on September the 10th. We tape our first TV for WUPL Channel 50, and I am the new general manager for Wildcat Sports, and on September the 10th, we do our first TV show, and we're going to get that off the ground, and that's where I'm going to be appearing there, too.
And, of course, Teddy, play along on Twitter. You can follow us at Gerwick, G-E-R-W-E-C-K. And also at Gerwick Report is our Twitter handle as well. And any final comments there, Frank?
Just check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GerwickNet. Like I said, I got some content that we're going to be working on. Coming up shortly, we're going to be doing some video games on there. You know, so just check that out. Subscribe to the channel. Thumbs up the videos. And we definitely appreciate all the support.